The Pop Culture Show is presented by Luna Nuda Prosecco. Cheers with Luna Nuda. We are the Pop Culture Show, a deep dive into the latest celebrity news, music, TV, technology, and we throw in some observations from this crazy life, and especially some today. We're your hosts. I'm Barnes. That is Leslie. Hi, Leslie.
Hey.
And that's Cubby right there.
Oh, hello.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. Let's go.
Hey, don't forget, you're leaving something very pivotal out, our Instagram. You got to go to The Pop Culture Show on Instagram for VIP access to exclusive video content. In fact, if you go to The Pop Culture Show on Instagram and, you know, get that VIP access, you can see the entire India Oxenberg interview, which I don't know about you guys, but I felt a lot of people hitting me up and a lot of love on that interview we did with
her. Big time.
It's amazing what I was telling someone that had listened. They said, I'm going to go back and listen again. And I said, wait until this is out on Instagram, because watching her while we're interviewing her is telling a whole another aspect of the story. You can see her react, and she's very, very, what's the word, animated. She reacts.
Yeah.
Like when you ask her a question, you see it trigger something. I'm telling you, go watch it on IGTV.
I was surprised you asked her about the booty call, and
why
she
not?
Responded to that.
Why not?
I
mean, it's what was happening.
It's a cult booty call.
We have some special items today. First of all, we mentioned about leaving a review. We are going to starting next week, giving away goodness, otherwise known as a bribe. So when you leave us a 5-star review, and don't leave us a 4-star or a 3 or whatever. Come on. If you want to get what we're about to show you, you leave a 5-star and you say something nice.
It's kind of a bribe.
It's not kind of. It's directly a bribe. So if you go on Apple and you leave us, you know, click the 5 stars, write the review, we're going to pick one of the reviews and read it live on the show. And then we're going to send you something. Now, what? No one else knows what's being sent but me. Cubby doesn't know. Leslie doesn't know. But I did send Leslie this item in a package. But
I
wanted to wait.
It yet.
You want to show your? Do you have your package?
Yeah, but I haven't opened it.
Okay, good.
So, all right, hold on.
And Cubby, for some reason,
and you said you sent one.
Yeah,
you said you sent one to me, but I haven't gotten
it
yet.
It's got nice.
What's weird is I sent it at the same time, but Leslie is in the middle of nowhere in Tennessee. She got it, and you're just steps out of Manhattan, and you didn't get it, which is very
right. Well. You know what? You brought up a good point. I did have that issue where
Leslie's already opening. Hold on, Cubby. Hold on, because
she left it in the bushes.
Uh-oh.
Okay, don't.
This is.
Don't say what it is.
Can I show it?
Show it. You have to go to our Instagram to see it. How great is that?
This is so cool. You don't want me to show it, or you do?
Yeah, show it. Just don't say it. Because the whole idea, Leslie, is for us to get followers on Instagram. So come in.
Oh, we got swag.
Look at that. Don't say what it is, Cubby.
Wow.
That is so cool.
How?
This is an official The Pop Culture Show.
Cubby.
It's
Cubby.
Just like a... What?
We just said what? Don't say, because you have to go to Instagram to see it.
He said it 5 times. Don't say what it is.
I didn't know I wasn't supposed to say The Pop Culture Show official.
Because people, don't worry, I beeped you out. Because
Whoa.
People.
Okay, good.
Because people, this is
Thank
our
you,
ploy
Barnes.
To get followers on Instagram. And you have one in the mail, Cubby. How great is that?
How I got it and he didn't get it.
No, it's great. Yeah, an official Pop Culture Show.
That's so cool, Barnes.
Are you bleeping me out?
Yeah. So okay. This whole segment is one big bleep. So if you would like to get one of those, what you just saw, please go to Apple, leave us a 5-star review, and write something nice, and we're going to read one of them. Each week we'll read one, and then we're going to send you this right to your inbox at home.
Can people purchase them?
No, we don't have a store yet.
What if people give us 1 star? Can we send them what you're wearing?
Oh, my golf shirt? What's wrong with you?
Yes.
Barnes, I can't believe Mr. Entrepreneur hasn't already set up a shop to sell these. We do need money. We need money on the Pop Culture Show.
True. True. That is true. We need to work on a store. Right now, we're on a free GoDaddy website. We don't have any money. We're on a free one-page website. So anyway, I think you'll like
this. Well, you know
what? Go to our Instagram and you'll see the video.
So cool.
I think you'll like it.
Hey, can we give props to Leslie for a second? I don't know if she knows I'm doing this, but she got acknowledged from Billboard Magazine 2020 Women in Music Executives.
I was going to ask.
I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you very much. That,
it is
that's very huge.
Huge. I was going to ask about it, and I didn't. In our What'd You Do This Week, because I saw that her Instagram, I mean her social media, was blowing up. What exactly is it?
It's that you, well. Remember we talked about Cardi B being a Woman of the Year for Billboard? It's the Women of the Year issue.
Oh yeah, we said there were better deserving people, so they gave it to you instead of Cardi B.
Yeah, they did. No,
that's fantastic.
Many amazing women that are in this, and I acknowledge some people that I work with. So thanks, Cubby.
That's Barnes. Awesome.
No, congratulations. Yeah, Leslie Fram, Senior VP Music and Talent at CMT, where you can see a lot of Roseanne. Every time I turn on CMT, you guys are showing Roseanne.
Yeah. Really?
We show
was
Reba,
it Roseanne?
Roseanne, a bunch of old Tim Allen shows, movies.
Well, other than that massive award, anything else special going on this week, Leslie Fram? This is our segment where we find out.
This is the Christmas card dilemma. Every year, I do all the Christmas cards, and the list is bigger and bigger. You know how it is, because, Cubby, as you know, we've worked in several different markets. So I have friends from different eras of our life. Hold on, my phone's ringing. I have to turn it down. So we have about 300 Christmas cards that we do every year, and I have always been the one that addresses everything, writes a note on every single card, whether it's, hey, hope you have a wonderful holiday. So this year, Lanny had this brilliant idea to do the Vistaprint cards with the collage of the photo of us and the dog. And anyway, so we did the Vistaprint cards, and the envelopes are already, you know, has our return address. So the dilemma was, of the 300 cards, because a lot of people just stick it in the envelope and mail it, no handwritten note, to save time.
Yeah, because everyone throws that stuff away anyway, right?
Right. So we finished all the cards, and all under 20 people will have a hand-selected note.
So,
whoa.
So I saved a little time.
Wow, but now you've just
outed.
The 20 people. It's like the Willy Wonka. Did you get the signed Leslie Fram?
It's a lot of work.
Honestly, Cubby, honestly, answer this question. The amount of time from the moment you open a Christmas card to it gets in the trash can.
Believe it or not, I put them up on this door we have
really?
In our house.
I put them up too.
It's like a coat. It's like a coat door. And I put a little tape on the back and I put them up until after Christmas. Then after Christmas, I don't put them in the trash can. You recycle, Barnes. Recycle.
Wow. I've cut it to 20 seconds. When I open it at the mailbox, and by the time I get in and I've read it and I've had that moment, and I can drop it into the recycle bin in 20 seconds.
No, mine stay on a nice coffee table.
Really?
It's a way to stay in touch with friends I haven't seen in like 20 years. Wow.
And then
Barnes,
I rip off the return address.
Yes.
You rip off the return address to make sure you send them a card back.
I'm just kidding, because Heather comes behind me and pulls them out of the trash. It's just a little bit I like to do. I like to come in and go, I read it, and then put it in, and then she takes it out, and I don't know what maybe she files it somewhere.
Well, here's my question for Leslie. The 20 you're going to be signing, is it just a signature, or are you going to put like a sentence or
little
two?
Sentence
of
or
like,
two.
Hey, you know, a personal sentence
personal
or two.
Personal sentence or two.
Poetry? You're going to stick a little Fram?
Poetry. Just a nice note.
Oh, I forgot to mention, by the way, our guest today is Michael Damian. Number one hit singer, Michael Damian. Broadway star, Michael Damian.
Yeah.
Television star, Michael Damian. And executive producer, director, Michael Damian, will be on with us. He has a new Christmas movie that's shattering records on Hallmark that just came out, and he's going to be on in just a bit.
I watched him for years on Young and the Restless.
What was his character's name?
Danny.
Okay, good. I thought I had you right there, Leslie.
No. I remember that show. I loved it.
Danny Roman.
Barnes just said something that a little red flag came out here.
Uh-oh.
You mentioned number one artist, and you're right. Michael Damian had a number one hit,
yeah.
Rock On.
Yeah.
Lisa Loeb had a number one hit called Stay. So I got her on the Pop Culture Show. Barnes is getting Michael Damian on the Pop Culture Show. We've both brought in number one song
makers. I like where this is going.
Fram,
hey,
could you step up to the plate?
I got Butch Walker on from Marvelous 3.
And what number one song did he sing?
Freak of the Week.
Number one?
Well,
Cubby, you're the fact checker.
Okay, wait. Cubby. And then, wait, didn't I get Ed Roland on?
Billboard number one.
Didn't I get
Ed Roland on? He lives in my neighborhood.
I thought I got Ed Roland on.
Oh, hold on.
So, Leslie, I mean, yeah, you're right. All right.
Okay.
Butch Walker was huge, but we need a number one pop artist.
I'm going for somebody really big that I'm going to DM this week.
Oh, number one artist.
An artist of sorts.
Attention, Taylor Swift. Attention, Taylor Swift. Report to the pop culture show.
But she or he or they had a number one hit.
Of sorts, yes.
Okay,
I'm going to try.
Of sorts. Depending on what
Leslie's
chart.
Bullshitting okay. already. You can tell when Leslie's bullshitting. You know what you can tell? She leans back in her chair. What? And if you're not watching this on a video segment, whenever Leslie is either mad or lying, she leans back in
Who
her
else?
Chair.
I thought I got somebody else big on the
See?
Show.
See, she's not even acknowledging because she knows it's right.
Yeah, Barnes brought that up, actually, because, you know, I have a sensitivity issue. I want everyone to like me, you know, and I was talking to Barnes one time. I'm like, you know, is Leslie cool with me? I don't want to step on your toes. You've been working together forever. And Barnes said, oh, if she's ever, you know, upset that she can't get a word in, she'll just lean back and go, and shrug.
He knows me too well.
So now if you do that, I think I've done something to piss you off.
Oh, my gosh. This is killing me. All right. Cubby, I know you had a problem. I want to say before you get to your problem, two quick things. One, Apple has dropped a surprise on the world. They've announced that on Tuesday of this week, I don't know what's happening, but they have a mysterious hardware release coming. That's December the 8th.
What do you think it is?
Well, there's speculation that it's either a new version of AirPods, also AirTags, which have been rumored about for a long time, which you can attach it to your keys, for example, and your phone will help you find it. Something like that.
I have one of those right under my armpit. Oh, that's a skin tag.
Skin tag.
That's a skin tag. I'm sorry.
And it's not going to be an iPad or a new computer because all those just came out. And the other thing is AirPods Studio headphones. So those rumors just literally dropped. And keep your eyes peeled on Tuesday. I guess it's something that they want to get, you know, get people fired up for Christmas that they would put it in a stocking, is my guess.
Very cool.
And
very cool.
The second thing is a band from the 90s that I absolutely loved, the Caulfields. They've gotten back together and they had a huge hit with Devil's Diary in the 90s. And they put out a couple of albums. John Fay is a dear friend of ours. And they are doing this cover of Love Will Keep Us Together, which is actually really awesome. I want to let you hear just a clip of it.
Together, think of me, babe, whenever some sweet talking girl comes along, singing a song. Don't mess around, you just gotta be strong. Just stop, 'cause I really love you. Stop.
Great version of that. Man, what pop that thing has. But they're doing on Tuesday, also, they're doing a fundraiser at align.space. They're doing a free live stream event, and the proceeds to that single, which if you go to bandcamp.caulfields.com or just go to Bandcamp and search them, all of the benefits are going to an organization called Phil Abundance. It's this well-loved organization that does a lot of good for people, especially this time of the year, in regards to eating. So a food bank of sorts, I believe.
By the way, Love Will Keep Us Together by Captain and Tennille, one of the first 45s I ever received. I was 5 years old. It was 1976. Every Tuesday, my mom would go shopping with her mom, and I would get a 45 every day. And every Tuesday, I would get a 45. And one day, she brought home that song, and I must have rocked back and forth on my rocking horse for hours. That was my thing, by the way.
Rocking back and forth?
I would put 45s on and then rock in my rocking horse.
That's
where it all began.
For like hours.
Their other big hit?
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, well, Love Will Keep Us Together. And then
Captain and Tennille.
Oh, my gosh. What was the other one?
Come on.
Oh, Do It To Me One More Time, right?
No.
Oh, I can't remember it either.
Muskrat Love?
Muskrat Love.
Yeah. I loved that.
Yeah.
Muskrat Love.
And of course, we lost.
I know.
The captain.
We
He passed away in January of this year. No, January of 2019, he passed away.
And this segment, we're bringing you to feel old. If you know what we're talking about, you right now feel very old. So the 8th, that's this Tuesday, 12, 8, 7 p.m. Go to Align, A-L-I-G-N dot space, and just search the Caulfields.
I loved them.
By the way, speaking of feeling old, somebody said this when I brought this up on Facebook. I talked about what happened to me on Friday night, and someone said, "Oh my God, first sign of Alzheimer's," and they were kidding. And you know, it's Alzheimer's is no laughing matter because actually my mom has a little bit of it happening. But anyway, I did something that somebody said I should get checked out for.
What?
I left a faucet in the bathroom running from 9 p.m. one night until 6 a.m. the next morning. I left a water faucet
like full blast.
Full blast. We have a bathroom downstairs, and I must have washed my hands after using it and kept it on because my wife woke me up at 6:15 on Saturday morning saying, "Did you use the bathroom in the middle of the night? When was the last time you used the downstairs bathroom?" And I said, "I think it was like 9 o'clock last night." She goes, "The water's been on. The hot water's been running since 9 o'clock last night."
Wow.
So I brought this up on Facebook, and a few people said, "Hey, you know, chalk it up to 2020, and we have a lot on our mind these days." Somebody said, "First sign of Alzheimer's," which actually I've heard that, you know, like leaving your keys in the refrigerator and all that stuff. And but I'm actually concerned that I did that. And then I started worrying about a number of things. I was like, "Oh my gosh, is the water bill going to go up?" And we have septic here, so I'm like, "Did I fill up the septic tank? And is it going to overflow? Is the yard going to be a hot mess?" And I've been worrying about that like for 24 hours. Like, how long does it?
Who can evaluate? Who do you call and say, "I left the faucet on all night. What's my problem?" I mean, I'm not joking. Like, who would you call?
I don't know. The internet. It was all about the internet. I spent like 3 hours on the internet seeing how fast a septic tank can fill up and is too much water bad, which it is, because a septic tank is all about layers, you know, of like sludge, and then there's water, then there's all kinds of stuff. And if you have too much water, then certain things can't escape.
Have you found out anything?
Flood the whole thing. Well, I keep going out to the backyard where the septic tank is, and now we are about 36 hours removed from when the water stopped. And the yard is fine. So I'm feeling a little bit better. Wow. But, you know, I don't know if you guys have known this, but a septic tank overflowing can be like a $15,000, $20,000. If you have to replace your septic tank, it can be a big, big expense.
Well, please let us know when you find the medical person that's going to evaluate it. Can you give us this number? Because we have a couple of other things we want to ask about while he's checking under the hood.
Well, dude, I mean,
I'm kidding.
Seriously, should I be worried more about...
I don't know.
No, should I be worried about my memory, or is that just a one-off thing? Because
what were you doing
when you
remember turning it on?
I remember using the bathroom. I was actually in the middle of a TV show that I was into, and I was dying to get back.
That could be it. Your mind just skipped ahead to get back, and you just turned the water on. You just walked out.
I think all of us have so much on our minds that this happens quite frequently. Because I know Barnes is going to out me on a few things later.
Am I?
You always do. Yeah.
Oh, good.
But Cubby, you've had a stressful weekend. I'm even surprised you're here today. It's stressful.
Leslie, I mean, that was really dramatic.
It's stressful. Look, Cubby, you're worried about the septic tank.
Cara, I can't believe you're here.
Wait, is that not a big deal? I thought that was
a big
deal.
It is a big deal.
Well, you turned it off and everything's okay. So see, now it's a bigger deal that you're fretting on it. You haven't had any other incidents like that. That you've told us.
That I've never told you.
Well, don't leave your Tesla in drive. I'll tell you that right now. Many new Tesla owners, they leave it in drive and they think it's off and they get out and it drives through their garage.
Oh.
I almost did that. I've had the Tesla for 3 weeks. I did that my first week.
It's got a hold now. When you brake, it holds. Before, it didn't hold.
Right.
So if you got out and it was in drive, there are a lot of old people, I'm not kidding, older people who have driven through storefronts.
Can't Tesla come up with a thing like your iron when you leave the iron on?
Well, hold.
It automatically shuts itself off after
they did the hold.
It's so quiet, though. It is so quiet.
They're going to add noise.
Wow.
No.
Yeah. There's talk of adding under the car so pedestrians can hear it coming. Not kidding.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's
interesting, actually.
Software.
And that's what I love about Tesla, because when you buy a new car, normally that's what you have until you get rid of it. With a Tesla, they can update it anytime.
Yeah.
So that's exciting about having a Tesla. I'm enjoying that we get updates every now and then.
Well, this is where Leslie gets mad at us for mentioning Tesla.
No, I don't get mad. I just don't care about what I drive. Doesn't matter to me. It's not important.
How come? You never been into cars?
No, never.
All right.
You just want to get to point A to point B.
I've had some cool cars, but you know.
What are you driving now again?
And now I have a TLX.
She doesn't know.
No, I have a Mazda now, but I used to have like one time I had an Audi, one time I had a Beamer. It just doesn't matter to me.
You know what Leslie drove?
Passat. I had a Passat.
When we were at 99X, okay. You know what she drove? Whatever they gave her.
No, it's not true.
Yeah, we'd be in meetings. Hey, Leslie, do you want to drive a Passat?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And then they would deliver a Passat.
Well, that was the beauty of radio.
I know.
Yeah, we would sit in those meetings. They'd be like, Barnes, will you go to Six Flags at 5 o'clock on Friday? No.
Right.
And then they go, Leslie, do you want a new car?
Where are the endorsements for this podcast? That's what I want to know.
Well, you're about to hear of one in just a couple of minutes.
Okay.
So there's a mishap that happened this week that, unlike yours, Cubby, it was my fault. And it was not like something subconscious. You know I'm addicted to cryotherapy. Icebox, they're my people. Love them. I go probably 2 or 3 times a week. And there are 4 levels. There's beginner, intermediate, pro, and cryo pro. Which cryo pro is like ridiculous. Like you're a professional athlete and you've got like trauma and you need to go in. And it's like one step before you're dead and they're saving you for later. Like it's that cold.
Are you, what level are you in?
Intermediate. Because I just started a month ago or so. And that's cold enough. I'm telling you, you saw the video. So I went in the other day and there was a lot of people coming in and out and people doing, you know, there was just a lot of action. And I started talking about Cryo Pro and this guy was about to do Cryo Pro. And I'm like, oh yeah, I do Cryo Pro all the time. Ha 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 ha. I mean, I was kidding. The girl heard me say that and put my setting to Cryo Pro.
She did not.
So when you go in, they dial it up on the computer, right? Well, so I don't see them dial it up on the computer. She just heard me and she's like, oh, well, he does Cryo Pro. And I got in the machine and, you know, you don't have anything on, but like boxers and socks and earmuffs. And it started and it's 3 minutes. And so the first 45 seconds, it's kind of a mind game. You get through that and then you do a turn. About 40 seconds in, I'm like, holy shit, this is fucking cold. And I was like trying to.
Did your dick fall off?
No. But I'm like trembling and I'm thinking, this just isn't right. But like mentally, I'm like, no, well, maybe I haven't been here in a few days. So maybe I'm just, you know, not acclimated. And I turn and then they're playing Christmas music. So they were playing like, da, 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 da. And I was like, and that was in my head and that was agitating me already. And then there's someone outside the door. So like almost a minute in, I'm like, what is this on? Like I'm yelling out the thing and they're like, what? Like what setting is it on? They're like, you're on Cryo Pro. I'm like, no. So they put the window down and I'm like, I was like having trouble. Like I was like trying to psych myself out. And so they kept the window down a little bit to let like the temperature get acclimated again. I was,
what's it get down to again?
I think Cryo Pro is like -260.
And so they do stay
crazy
outside the door, though, just to hear if there's an issue.
You can push the door open. It's just a magnet. You can push it open. But they were like,
whoa.
What? And I can't hear because I have earmuffs. It was a scene right out of like Saturday Night Live. I'm like, what's happening? And they're looking. They're like, what? I'm like, it's cold. They're like, yeah, no shit. I'm like, no, really? And change the music.
What are you used to?
Like,
what are you used
to? Like 200.
Oh, -200. What? So they had, so you were like, get the Christmas music.
But then
off.
I got out, and then they're like, "Ha! But you did it." I'm like, "No, I don't want to start doing pro."
Wow.
Anyway,
what music is normally on? Like Metallica?
Yeah, like rock. Like, and all of a sudden it was like ding, 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 ding. It was like some off the path country song that was monotonous and it had the same beat.
They should play like Frozen music. Let it go. Let it go.
But I did feel good. So maybe I'll have to try that again. But that,
wow.
I don't know how people do that for 3 minutes.
Sorry. That would have freaked me out.
Do you get itchy, by the way? Sometimes when you get real cold real quick, you get itchy. No, serious, because like the blood is flowing.
No, you start
quickly.
Getting, what you do get is on the back of your legs, you know, where the skin is like thin, I think. Thinner, like right behind your knee, the opposite side. It starts feeling like, what's it called when you're outside with nothing on? Frostbite.
Oh, like frostbite.
Yeah. It doesn't itch.
Quick question, though. Is cryotherapy good for memory loss?
It's good for a lot of things. Blood flow.
Guys, I'm nervous. I'm forgetting things left and right, and the faucet thing really bothers me. Okay. I'm sorry.
What show are you on right now?
With me?
Yeah.
I'm on the Queen's Gambit. I'm done. What are you talking about?
Like, what show right now? I was doing a memory check. You're on the Pop Culture Show.
Oh, I'm on the Pop.
See, there is something wrong.
There's an issue here. I'm serious.
I'm on the Pop Culture Show.
What is happening?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What is happening?
By the way, do you get Pluto TV?
Yes, because we own it. Viacom CBS.
No way.
Yeah, we have a video channel on there for CMT.
They own it all.
Wow. So I've really gotten into Pluto TV. It's free TV.
It's free.
It's an app, or you can get it on like your any app, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching it, I think, on Fire TV. Anyway, they have a 24/7 Price is Right channel now. A
lot of fun
channels.
It's
all old Bob Barker episodes. I have been having a blast watching that nonstop.
Yeah, Pluto TV.
I wanted to be on The Price is Right so badly, like in my 20s. I never couldn't make it happen.
I got in the audience once, but I didn't get called. But it was fun.
I would think really you fun. With all the wacky shirts and stuff you wear, they love that.
What is your shirt say now?
Me and my buddy went. Oh, it's like, I don't know, some shitty weekend shirt. It says Lucky on it, I think. I don't know. Have you ever been on a game show? I've been on two.
You have?
Oh, that's
what?
Right. What, were you on Press Your Luck? What were you on?
No, I was on Hollywood Squares.
Oh.
I was on a radio edition of Hollywood Squares when Tom Bergeron was hosting and radio people were playing for charity. And I made it to the bonus round but lost. But man, we had John Ritter on that show. He was in one of those boxes. He's dead. Buddy Hackett was in one of those boxes. He's dead. There's one more person that passed away, but that was in 2000. And then I was on a game called Chain Reaction. Which
wow.
is on Game Show Network.
I thought it was fun.
They repeat it every now and then. Yeah, I love game shows.
Wanna get intimate? Subscribe to The Pop Cult at thepopcultureshow.com and get VIP insider access to the show with bonus content, exclusive videos and freebies. Anything happening on the show will come to you first. Sign up free and join The Pop Cult at thepopcultureshow.com.
Okay, guys, shifting gears, I've told you that I had a story for you, and you both have been asking me off the show to tell you the story before the show, and I didn't want to do that. And I have to be really...
Well...
Yeah?
I was going to say, I'm glad you're telling us live, because you'll get that reaction from us, but I'm really intrigued what you're going to say.
And by the way, this is real. Barnes saves a lot of content for the show, and we have no idea what he's about to tell us.
This is a true story.
Correct.
And my wife, Heather, is here. Say hello, Heather. She hates to hear her voice.
Hey.
She's an avid podcast
Hi,
listener.
She say, hey.
And
hey,
cat
Heather.
Adopter. Okay, so this involves Heather. And she did not ask to be involved in it, but she got involved in it. And you're about to see why. So I was sitting at my desk. And a friend of mine who has become a friend of ours... Mm-hmm. Over the years, since I got married 8 years ago.
Yep, was Steve's friends first.
I was friends with this person for, geez.
Girl, Steve.
30
it's
years.
A girl.
A girl.
Yeah, never had a relationship with her.
It's a woman.
Okay.
No relationship, always friends. That's it.
Going for back, how many years?
Going back to college. So that would
okay.
be 88, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
30-ish years. And she contacted, I mean, I talked to her like maybe 3 or 4 times a year, maybe. And it's always just like, what's going on? How's the family?
Well, she visits us too.
Yeah, she visits us and stays in our guest dungeon. And a few times, probably 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah.
And but I talked to her also these other times. So we're friends and it's always been platonic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting at my desk and I get a call from her and I'm like, hey, what's going on? I'm sitting here editing. She's like, hey, I have something to ask you. I'm wondering if you would do something for me. And I feel a little awkward asking you about it, but I would like to ask you. And I'm just going to say that it's sensitive. And I'm like, shit, what could this be? You know, I'm like, it's,
are you thinking money?
I'm like, am I going to launder money? Am I supposed to like lie on some form? Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I really want to get my fiance a special gift and I would like to make him a video. I'm like, oh, cool. Because, you know, when you need tech help, Cubby, who do you call?
Right? I call Barnes. Right.
Mm-hmm. So when you need some sort of video help, I have a Barnes, production company and I can just make it happen for you. And she's like, yeah, I want to do it. I'm like, okay, great. What is it going to be? It's going to be like, you know, is it a sunlight jingling? Like you're going to put some fun Christmas music to it, whatever. She's like, no, actually it's going to be pictures of me, but I have a hard time editing because I don't really understand how to edit to the beat. And she wanted to edit the song to a certain song that's a very popular song. I don't want to say what song it is because that will out the person. So they told me the song. I'm like, oh, no problem. Sure. Like I'll stop what I'm doing and do that in like 5 minutes. It's no problem at all, honestly. And so she's like, great. Okay, well, there's one more thing. The pictures are kind of sensitive. I was like, they're sensitive? What do you mean they're sensitive? She's like, well, I'm not really wearing clothes in a lot of them. And I was like, okay.
Keep going.
And she's like, well, actually, you know, you see everything. They're not, I think her words were, they're not racy, but they are naked. And so I immediately said, oh, and I'd act like I was not even unfazed. I was like, sure. I'll tell you what, call Heather. And this is where Heather comes in. I said, call Heather. And if Heather doesn't have a problem with it, no problem. But I just want to be above board because I don't want to be in my office. And then next thing you know, she walks in because, I mean, I'm in here editing stuff. Last week she came in. She thought I was about to go get married to India Oxenberg because I'm like talking to India on the phone and editing video. I'm like, sure. No, it's just for the show. And so she calls and Heather. So before I can tell Heather,
yikes.
I hang up. She immediately calls Heather.
So I get a phone call. No warning at all. Yeah, this great woman who I've gotten to know over 10 years. And she's like, hey, you know, I've asked your husband to do this and he says he will.
Hold on, Cubby's thinking something. Is she hot? I just saw it in your mind. The answer is yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's hot. Okay. Oh, yeah. And her name, please, for Facebook.
I knew that was coming. Nope.
Yeah. So she's like, yeah, everybody, you know, I'm fine with it and Steve's fine with it. We just want to make sure you're okay. I was like, what? And so she tells me and she's like, but the pictures are artistic. And I was freaking out. I'm like, what in the world? So I was like, oh, well, yeah, sure. As long as they're artistic. Yeah.
Yeah, she put you on the spot, actually.
Oh, totally.
I hadn't even texted her yet.
And the whole time I'm like, how dare Steve not even call me to discuss this with me first?
Of course.
You know, so, I mean, what am I supposed to say? And so, yeah, she's like, they're artistic. I was like, well, that, of course, that's, you know, if it's artistic, yes. And she said, oh, and I've told Steve that, you know, you can look at them too. I don't mind if you look at them. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm sure they're beautiful. And
so all this is happening while I'm just like going about my business. I was going to eventually text Heather and say, hey, so yeah. Blank wants me to cut these pictures together. And apparently she's not wearing any clothes.
So meanwhile, right. On top of this is Christmas time. I've already gotten Steve his present, you know, my big romantic
present.
This
is now.
To Steve is a new hairdryer. Here's this woman.
Yeah, we go in on a hairdryer.
This gorgeous video of these boudoir shots. And I was like, oh, shoot. You know, that's how romantic I am. I got him a hairdryer.
And so,
whoa.
She calls me. And before she even calls me, she's already given me the Dropbox. So I like have this pulsating Dropbox on
you
my
haven't opened
screen.
It yet.
And I haven't opened it yet because.
So I haven't even spoken to Steve yet. And Steve already has. So I call Steve. Well, actually, I think I just came home and was like, what in the world is going on here?
I'm like, I sent it to you. I forwarded you like a good husband should do. Can you imagine if I would have said, I got it. I'll do it.
No, Steve, you didn't have the pictures yet because then.
I did. I got them immediately.
No, because we sat down and we agreed. Or did we agree on the phone? Whenever we agreed, we're like, he's like, listen, this is the key. He said,
no, you left. And when you were here, I said, I'll wait for you. To go through them.
Yeah. He said, we will look at them together.
If you want to see them.
We will look at them together.
I'm so horny, guys. I'm so horny.
Keep and going. He's like, we will look at the pictures together, these artistic pictures together. We will look at them together. And then I will not look at them until you see them first. So we're looking at them at the same time.
So she ran to yoga. So she ran out the door. And I got to thinking, back to my first comment, this will take me 5 minutes. So I was like, I pulled up the song and I pulled them out and I like went in and I was just going to do it. Like,
so I get home.
Did you go into the did you go into the pulsating Dropbox?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah.
And then other things started pulsating.
So I get home, I walk in the door, and what song do I hear blasting over the room, the editing room office upstairs? The song. And I'm like, you opened
it! I want to know what this song is.
It's a great song.
Well, here, I'll write it down.
Is
don't
it Love
say
Will
it.
Keep Us Together?
Don't say it out loud.
It's a great song.
Here's the song. So she comes in the door, and she's hearing that.
Okay.
That's a good song. Isn't
all right.
It?
And so the beat is fast, and the cuts are happening. So she left it to me to decide what photos
go where at what
go
point
where
what.
So then I'm like, well, that beat's too fast. If I'm going to see all her business, I need, if I'm the fiance and I want to see all the business, that half a second is not going to be enough. I don't want to have to pause it. So I tried to put boring pictures like in the, you know, in that part of the beat. So anyway, so
were they somewhat artsy though?
I mean,
were
artsy,
the pictures somewhat, but
they were artsy. They were beautiful pictures.
Okay.
And
not scandalous looking.
There were pictures where everything was shown.
You see everything. There's no,
but
in like, different photos, and some close up and some not, but they were artsy. They were self portraits.
Yeah.
They were like,
we did have a beaver moon last month.
Exactly. Well, so here's the thing, guys.
So Heather walks in. I want to hear that part.
Heather walks in and just was she's like, well,
I'm
they're
like
good
laughing
pictures.
At the same time, but I'm like screaming at him, like, I know, because I knew exactly what he was doing because the music's playing. And he's like, here, you want to know what I've done so far? And I was like, you know what? I haven't seen it yet. I said, I want to see the final video.
So leave me to my room. Get the hell out of my studio. And so everything was put together and played it for her. And it wasn't porn. I mean, no. I would not classify it as porn. No. And what are we leaving out? Is there anything left out? The fact that she's coming to stay with us again in 3 weeks.
That's kind of uncomfortable. Mm.
This will be the first time since doing this.
And you still have the Dropbox. Or did you destroy it?
I haven't gone back.
Oh, that's a good question, Leslie.
Cross my heart. I haven't gone back. I mean, I saw them enough. I saw them the whole time I was editing. They were all
up
on my screen.
I was going to ask if you spent extra time working on this project.
I spent extra time doing some things, Leslie, but some of that
did you get paid for, by the way, or you did it as a friend?
I did it as a friend. What would you?
Okay.
Okay. Well, so what would you do?
What would Coco say if you got that call?
Well, she would say, you don't know how to edit pictures. So call Barnes.
You would say, I'm going to learn.
Well, yeah, exactly. I will look this shit up on the internet right now. I'll figure out how to do it.
There's a YouTube video out there somewhere that will help you. Anyway, so
right.
Wow, that was the indecent proposal story. That's incredible.
What would you think, Leslie, if it happened to you?
You know, I probably would have just been like, yeah, go ahead, do it.
You would have told Lanny, go ahead, do it. What if Lanny, what if someone approached you? So like Cubby said, hey, Leslie, I have these pictures. I'm not wearing pants. Lanny said, that's some bitch. You're not going to cut those damn. That boy, what the fuck's wrong with him?
No, when we lived in 12 South, an artist lived down the street from us. And she said, hey, I want to recreate this scene from, I think it was an old Clint Eastwood movie. I want to recreate this scene of this older guy, you know, in a bathtub, blah, blah, blah. In my new video, would Lanny do it? And Lanny was like, kind of petrified and asked me for permission.
What was he
wearing?
And
I was like, sure. Well, he had shorts on, but he was definitely in a bathtub with a younger woman in this music video. Wow.
Who knew? Leslie, we had to get this story out to get Leslie's story out.
That's a good story.
I'll send you the video at some point. Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, I just want to know what, you know, I mean, how many, if you got in that situation, how many marriages would tilt crazy off Troubleville?
It's crazy.
I mean, it was.
Well, I think, though, for the most part, you guys discussed it. And even though that lady beat you to the punch by calling Heather, at least for the most part, it was all out in the open and you communicated and it worked out.
I'm still surprised, though, that she asked you to do that, Barnes, your friend.
I was shocked.
Shocked.
I guess because it was never anything romantic or never even like remotely near the line. I mean, nothing. That she was like, well, he's an editor. He has a production company. He can just do it.
Can I ask you a question? How do you think her fiance will feel after
he
sees
this? I'm sure he's going to love it.
No, that Barnes put it together. Like, that's kind of embarrassing.
That's not my problem.
You know
what you should do?
Like, it's between her fiance and me.
And me.
And Heather.
You should totally frame one of the pictures and put them in a hallway or something when she stays at your house.
Have it up when she's here and put it down.
Say, so, you know, of all the pictures you sent, this is the one I like the most.
Yeah. Oh,
and
my
we're
gosh.
Keeping it.
Anyway, so there you go. There's the indecent proposal.
Oh, it's wow. It's our favorite story from now on. What? We're like, at least we have something to tell at cocktail parties.
I hope it happens.
With other couples.
I hope it happens to you, Cubby. Here's willing a good 2021 to you.
I'm hoping for a pulsating Dropbox soon.
Get exclusive video content when you follow the Pop Culture Show on Instagram. Unlock full video interviews and video bits you can't get anywhere else. Instagram.com/thepopcultureshow.
Guys, I finally finished The Queen's Gambit. I think, Leslie, you finished first. Look, I didn't love it.
What?
I didn't hate it. I mean, no, I thought it was good. I don't know if it's, I think you have to be a chess fan, number one.
No, you don't.
And it leaned a little bit towards the female side, but I watched it with my wife. You know, it had a decent ending. And sales of chess sets, by the way, are up 87% in America, and sales of books about chess have soared 603%, according to a U.S. retail tracking service data system.
That's unbelievable.
So, if you're looking for somebody on your list for Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever, chess is the way to
now,
go.
Now, listen, my husband loved the show. We give it an A++. The acting is incredible.
See, that's the thing, is all the elements were great. But for me, I walked away in the finale and Heather's like, what are you doing? I was like, I just don't care. It took me that long to realize. I mean, I watched it. I thought she was very unique looking, so it was magnetizing to watch. The acting was fantastic. The scoring was awesome. The cinematography, but at the end of the day, all those elements just didn't add up for me.
I guarantee it's going to get so many nominations and awards.
Nothing was blowing up in it. It just didn't do anything for me.
It was like a Rocky for chess fans. You know, she goes to the Soviet Union, she beats the Russian. It reminded me of like a female, I don't know, Rocky chess.
It's about team playing. It's about being a team player.
You talk about how it has to be just for chess people. I think over 70 million people watched it on Netflix, which even surpasses, well, I think in limited series, that's their record for a limited series. How do you explain that then? What is it that pulls people in? Like, you and I couldn't play chess if we tried.
This
We're not
story.
That smart.
Exactly. The characters what pulls you in. And the storyline. And I am not surprised,
also,
though, about all the numbers of people buying chess boards and chess games going up. Not surprised by that at all.
It's also people, I think, that were forced to watch it because my wife wanted to watch it. So I started watching it.
So you're saying that helps. They really had 35 million, but they 2-for-1'd it because everyone pulled their spouse in.
That is correct. You are a winner.
It's such a unique show. And she's amazing, by the way, the lead actress.
She is. Everyone's trying to buy chess stuff, though.
It's crazy.
Just a weird? Is everyone that bored that they think they can play chess? Because you really have to be smart to play chess.
I downloaded a chess app from my iPhone, just some free stuff, and I didn't know what to do. I moved once, and then the computer moved, and then I shut it down.
Well, I know that Refinery29 has a great list of chess gifts, if you're looking for that, special person on your list.
All right. Well, you guys, that's just it's a strange phenomenon. I don't even know what explains it or how to explain it, but it's crazy.
I can't wait for that Baccarat film to come out.
The backgammon film.
That's right, or backgammon.
Exactly.
Yes.
We are very excited to let everyone know that we have a brand new sponsor on the Pop Culture Woo! Show. I had a meeting, and the people that we met with, they said, we are convinced that the people that listen to your show probably drink heavily. And I said, you're right.
Yep.
And so he
probably.
Said, we're signing on. So Blue Ridge Spirits, thank you for joining us. As you see, they've erected the Blue Ridge Spirits Shrine behind me. With
that
all
looks so nice and classy.
We're going to feature, now I have a bar in my studio, which is fantastic. We're going to feature a different drink or cocktail or wine or whatever every month. And this month, it's Luna Nuda Prosecco. This stuff is good. You got your shipment, right?
I have my shipment, and I have not tasted it. But if they're a sponsor, I'm going to like it no matter what.
Here's the bottle. I don't want to drip. It's wet out of my champagne. Because, you know, every studio has this. Is that silver? What is that, Leslie? I don't even know.
Gold.
It's an antique that I don't think it's gold.
Yes.
I think it's sterling. It just came in. And it's got
a beautiful
label. Look at that label. Some nice artwork. Cubby,
well,
watch where you aim that thing. It's going to explode.
I do want to say
I've heard that before.
I got turned on to Prosecco when I went to Italy years ago. Because, you know, you would go out and do wine and cheese.
Shit.
And,
oh, no.
Oh, did it explode?
Off the rails, Cubby.
Did you shake it? Oh, my God. Now I'm afraid to open it.
He's actually really crying.
It's serious bubbly.
Ouch.
It didn't get on your electronics, did it?
I gotta get a towel.
Barnes, seriously.
Hold on.
Whoa.
It just went around my room. He must have shaken it. Mine did not explode.
That sounded like it hit the ceiling. I was going to say I got turned on to Prosecco when I went to Italy years ago, because that's what you had if you were going to do like wine and cheese and... Oh, yeah.
Oh.
But I will say, and I'm not just saying this, this is my favorite Prosecco.
Yeah, look at the bubbles.
Luna Nuda.
Look at the bubbles in that thing. Cubby, mine...
Luna Nuda.
Mine did not explode, Cubby. Oh, you must have shaken it.
No, I did not.
Look, my wife even brought me a fancy glass. It's so tall, I can't even fit it in the shot.
Now, I want you to... Wait, Barnes. I want you to sniff it a little bit. I want you
That's
to sniff
good.
The aromas.
I've heard that before, too.
What?
It's almost like a bouquet of flowers. With like...
Oh, my God.
Like a bouquet of flowers, a little
good.
Bit of a ripe apple aroma to it. Seriously.
Oh, my God, this is so good.
That really is.
Guys.
Tell me, Cubby, now, what are you feeling now that you've had the sip?
I'm feeling great.
No, I mean, what does it taste like to you?
It just tastes like flowers.
Flowers. Well, here's the thing. It's got
Man,
this really
good.
Great fruit flavor. What's funny is, you know, you can have Prosecco with, and I'm saying like, you know, you can have it with cheese, but you can have it with any meal. But what's great for this is, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Buttery popcorn.
I taste that. It does taste buttery.
They say you can have it with buttery popcorn.
It tastes
but
buttery.
But if you are looking, seriously, if you're looking for a hostess gift over the holidays, if you're going to take something or leave something on someone's doorstep, Prosecco, but the Luna
Damn.
Nuda Prosecco is so delicious.
That is so, seriously, that's really good.
And.
Guys, I'm not kidding. We record this show every Sunday at 11 a.m. We should make this a part of our every Sunday taping.
It's like,
I really
it's
think
a very
we should.
Brunch.
It's like perfect.
Yeah, it's very much of a brunch thing, except
and,
we should probably eat.
Yeah.
Persistent pearlage. With
Fram.
Luna Nuda.
Fram's dropping the persistent pearlage on us. You know what that
persistent.
Means, Fram?
Yeah.
Didn't
yes.
she do overnights at 99X back in the early 90s?
Persistent pearlage? She was fantastic.
Persistent
yeah,
pearlage.
I remember her.
Do you
yeah.
know what is persistent pearlage?
Barnes, I know what that means.
What's it mean? Tell
I'm
us. Don't just
about
tell us you know.
Luna Nuda Prosecco with persistent pearlage. Try to say that five times in a row.
What does it mean if something has persistent
it's,
pearlage?
It's like the, you know, it's the palate, your palate.
No. Leslie.
I'm still cleaning
what do you
up.
Mean, no?
Persistent pearlage means persistent bubbles.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Well, look I see
them.
All the bubbles
it also
in your
means
glass.
That
look at
the
them.
Bubbles are gone because I finished it.
Wait, did you really finish
thing.
It or is it on your floor?
This is the last.
No.
Your floor is drunk, but this is the last thing we need to do. Look at it. Like we're feeding Cubby alcohol. Which,
he's in so much trouble.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm in trouble, by the way, because the wife. I told the wife we'd be done by like, no later than.
Barnes,
12,
will
10,
you show
well,
the really... will you show the label one
yeah.
more time? Because
yeah.
seriously, when you're purchasing this, you got to get the Luna Nuda.
It's under $15.
It's so delicious, and it has that wonderful floral fragrance.
Yeah, so check it out, and thank you for sponsoring the show, Luna Nuda Prosecco. Cheers to Luna Nuda.
Thank
Come
you.
Come on, Cubby. Cheers it. Cheers it.
Cheers it. This sparkling wine is an excellent aperitif. You can pair it with buttery, popcorn, or any meal.
Cheers.
Leslie, I would love to... What? Leslie, I would love to Luna your Nuda.
He's had two glasses and he's already tipsy.
See what happens when you have cocktails on the show becomes something else.
Yeah.
Cheers. Thanks, Luna Nuda. Our next guest has conquered every single industry that I can think of in the entertainment world. Here's a quick clip to remind you of this number one chart. Leslie, the bet's still on. You've got to get a number one singer. Here's mine today. Everyone knows this song. This is Michael Damian.
Rock and roll, rock on, ooh, my soul. Hey, kids, boogie to the digit. Hey, shout, summertime blues, jump up and down.
Rock and roll, rock on.
Now, do you ever wake up and want to get that hair and just go one day, you're like, I'm going to get rock on hair today. I'm going to come out and just put it up.
If you would have seen my hair earlier, you would have been, yeah, it was not good. Janine, my wife went, and then it's like,
did
yeah.
some magic.
Yeah. She went,
Michael Damian, who we've got a lot to cover. I mentioned all the things he's conquered. I mean, it's unbelievable. In the 80s, a number one song with Rock On. We have Joseph and Joseph, the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat on Broadway, playing the lead in that, of course. Mm-hmm. Number one show on television in daytime, Young and the Restless, for years.
Wow. My head is...
I know. I mean, and now you're conquering film and television, producing... It's been, what, like 8 or 9, 10 years you've been producing movies and crushing it. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. This is a great ego boost. I'm really feeling
That's
good.
That's it. The interview's over. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you next time.
Thank
All
you
right.
so
Michael
much.
Damian.
You got it. The only thing I haven't conquered yet is juggling. I've got to try to find a way to juggle because...
Well, you have a lot of jobs. You're juggling life.
I know. I want to figure out how to juggle. That's the only thing I don't know how to do yet. I'm
Michael, you're so creative, though. How do you divide your time? Because I see a piano in the back. I mean, between music, film, television, do projects come to you or are you just constantly evolving?
Well, you really have to go after them, I have to say. You know, going way back to The Young and the Restless, getting the job on the show, I mean, they were not looking for me. It just happened. I had a hit single on American Bandstand, Dick Clark's show. She Did It. Steve, do you remember She Did It? She did it. Okay. Anyway, producers of Young and the Restless saw me on American Bandstand, said, hey, we should write a character of a singer, struggling waiter, singer, wants to be a superstar. And they called me. The thing is, you got to be ready for it. I got the call. They said, oh, by the way, do you act? And I was like, of course I do. Come on. I'm acting right now. Anyway, you know, when they call and they say, oh, can you act? You say, yes, of course you act. If I would have said, well, no, not really, actually. I'm kind of nervous about that. They would have hung up on me. So you kind of have to seize the moment. And, you know, that, of course, started so many things for me because the character Danny Romolotti on Young and the Restless was a singer. And so then I was able, and then they, and Young and the Restless was wonderful because they let me do the concert tours. Nobody else had a deal like this. I could leave on Thursday, do concerts Friday, Saturday, Sunday, fly back home, do the show on Monday. They were incredible. Even through the whole Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat situation, they let me do the show and flew back and forth. Of course, when we went to Broadway, that couldn't really work because of the long distance. But for the LA run, they would shoot all my scenes in the morning because we opened at the Pantages Theater because the theater in New York wasn't available yet. And so, but to answer your question, you just really have to, when you see opportunity, you got to be ready. And you have to also sometimes, you know, create a few cracks in doors and windows to seize the opportunity.
What's funny is he pays it forward because I don't think you know this story, Leslie or Cubby. When I met Michael in around 89, this is when he had the number one song. We became fast friends. And when he was single, I would go out to L.A. and stay in his guest house. And Barnesology was already in full motion like that. You know, we were hanging out, having fun. Michael's like loving Hollywood. He's like all over the place. And he says to me, you know, can you act? I'm like, of course I can act. Same thing.
See? So you did it, Steve.
Damien got me my first television job on The Young and the Restless in 1991.
Yep. I remember that, by the way. I remember you telling me about that. Wow. I had it on. I VHS'd it and everything.
So what Michael doesn't know is that day is so vivid to me because I was nervous. I was playing an executive at Jabot Cosmetics. And
yeah, you did well, by the way.
It was awful. It was my first job.
No, it was
and
good.
So we're at Michael's house. I remember we lived on Kilkea in L.A.
Yep. Great
and
memory. Wow, Steve.
We got in your Ferrari. I mean, talk about feeling like you're all of a sudden like in television. We get in this Ferrari and we're blazing down these side streets and we arrive at CBS Television City and Michael's hair's flowing in the wind. We're in the convertible. He's got like $5,000 sunglasses on and we're like going to the gate and it's like, hello, Mr. Damien. It's like James Bond. And we go in and he's like, here's your dressing room. It's like this apartment. It was bigger than my apartment in Kansas City. It's like, here's your dress room. Just put that suit on. You'll be ready. I'm like, I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. But anyway, I'll never forget that. That was such a snapshot of an entrance into getting a job like that. It was unbelievable.
So, Michael,
look what you've created. You've created a monster.
Yeah, you created a monster.
I love it. We had so much fun, Steve.
It was a blast.
Hanging out in the glory 80s. Those were, the end of the 80s. That was
you should
really
see
great
women
time.
Look at him, though. We would go into a store and they'd be like, Kenny Romalotti's here.
Exactly.
He's here.
He still gets that, by the way, Barnes.
Yeah. Yep. My mom.
I actually have.
Yes. Tell me.
I'm sorry. I'm stepping all over you.
No,
sorry.
Hit me.
No, I was going to say, I have two questions about some of your older music, and then we're going to get to all the future stuff. But Rock On, I was a baby DJ in 1989 and working in radio, and Rock On was like one of my favorite songs. It was a terrible DJ song, by the way, because it was only 2 minutes and 45 seconds, so I couldn't take a leak. But there's the beginning of it right there. Did you ever hear from David Essex?
Yes.
When you were, what was his opinion of your version, and did you hear from him before you recorded or after it went number one?
After went number one.
Yeah, because he was getting paid.
You crazy story. He may not probably doesn't want this out there, but what the heck? We could talk about it. Anyway, it's been a while. David came to LA and we got together and we had such a great time. He's in my music video. This is a follow up. Oh my gosh.
Cover of Love.
Thank you. He's in the video. Did you see him in it?
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't see him in it, but I did have a question about that song after you finished this little conversation here about Rock On.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Get this. You're not even going to believe it. A month before I released the record, David Essex, just so you know, didn't own any of the publishing. He had sold it.
What?
A month before the release, he didn't know about the release. He bought all of it, reverted back to him. So it was basically a celebration lunch because he said, I want to thank you because I got all my publishing back before you released the record and cha-ching.
Wow.
You know, so,
did he even go to number one?
No, his was number four.
No.
Oh,
yeah. Number four.
Interesting. Wow.
So great time with him. Wonderful person. And I said, hey, I'm shooting a video this week. He's like, oh, absolutely. You want to come down and watch? No, watch. I want you in it. Oh, great. I'd love to be in it. So he came down and went and was in the video, did a little cameo. That was a very special time hanging out with him. And when the record was on the radio too, which was really fun.
The other question I had too on streaming services, Spotify, iHeartRadio, the company I work at, the original version of Rock On is hard to find, and I cannot find Cover of Love, which is also one of my favorite songs. I had a CD single forever, but can't find are you in charge of that? Like it says Michael Damian Rock On 09. That's the version on Spotify.
Well, what happened was A&M Records disappeared. And so did, I don't even know.
Who has the masters? Because could be making money, Michael.
Well, what happened was we re-recorded. That's what we did. We redid it in 09 because A&M, this is all before the digital era, the streaming and the whole. And so there was nothing out there, nothing available. So that's why we re-recorded. I did not re-record, though, all the other tracks that you're talking about. That's a great idea because A&M is gone and nobody can tell us. We've tried to find out where the masters are. There, nobody knows anything.
You'd be like Taylor Swift and just re-record all your old stuff.
Got to redo it. Yeah. So we got to do that. That's it is kind of wild, isn't it? People have asked, well, I can't buy this. This isn't streaming. And I'm like, A&M Records doesn't exist anymore. So
I do have to ask, and I want to talk about your new movie, but you had such an iconic role all those years in Young and the Restless. And, you know, for all of those soap fans, because I loved the Young and the Restless and GH and, you know, diehard fans.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, still to this day, because you were on for so many years, I don't know if those shows are streaming anywhere or if people have access to watch them, but you have to still get stopped every day, right, about your iconic character.
Well, usually it's police pulling me over for a speeding violation when I'm stopped. But no, I don't speed anymore. I never speed. No. I drive very safe. First of all, because of the pandemic, they've rerun all the old episodes. They've been doing the last 7 months reruns. So all of a sudden, it's like I'm back in 1985, 1990, it's crazy. So that's been really fun, reliving and revisiting all those old episodes. I think now they're shooting now. So they're, I don't think they're rerunning them like they did for the last 5-6 months, but, it was a really wonderful experience because I think at that time soap operas, they were at their absolute prime. This is before all of the reality shows.
Yes.
And before all the people got into different reality TV that was like a soap opera, you know, a real soap
Absolutely.
Opera. Absolutely. You know what I mean? So those didn't exist back when I was on Young and the Restless. So if you wanted that kind of escapism and that was, you know, where you found it on Young and the Restless, and colleges were obsessed with Young. Yeah. In fact, I know so many college students like yourself and Steve and yes. that work their classes. I've had so many people, by the way, I scheduled all my classes around Young and the Restless. Because, you know, back then, nobody could record
true,
anything.
Right.
You ever tried? Hey, did you try recording with those VHS machines back then? I mean, did you ever figure out the timer? Because I never figured out how to
so
do
tough.
It.
You're like laying on the floor.
All the wrong yeah. stuff.
Yeah, you were part of people's lives on a daily basis. So people did. They arranged their classes around YNR. Yeah.
And
that's yeah. crazy.
It's still number one. Young and the Restless yeah. is still number one on yeah. daytime.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which, I mean, that's unbelievable. What a run. Do they still call you every now and then to come back?
They did. They called me for an anniversary. They called me for the anniversary, I think it was. And then they called me for another... another a sad situation when Jeannie Cooper passed away.
Oh, right.
And I was filming, I was directing High Strung, or was it High Strung Free Dance? I was doing something out of the country, you know, when they asked if I was available. And I've always, my dialogue with the show is, if I'm in town, if I'm not directing a movie, absolutely, I'll be there. So just get, you know, I just hope it times out whenever they, mm-hmm. you know, and then when they call, I've got to be available to do it. But I can't commit to something that, you know, if I'm directing a movie or out of the country.
You've always been a performer. And whether it's yeah. music, which you have a very musical family, I don't know if people yeah. know, like his brothers, I mean, all these guys are like, have music studios and all this stuff. And then actor, of course, and then on Broadway, which is a whole different kind of acting. At what point yeah. did you... visually know I want to direct? Like, when did you want to leave that behind, so to speak, and focus on producing movies? What triggered that?
I think that started with, first of all, I've been observing directors all from day one. And on the set, I asked a million questions every day. I want to know why we were doing this, why it was shot that way. And I wanted to know as an actor, right? But I didn't know that I was actually learning all these different techniques to later put them into play as a director. So I was just sort of subconsciously learning. But then when I decided that I wanted to, well, Janine and I, my wife and I, were reading, I would get these scripts and, you know, from my agent, and I'm thinking, wow, God, this is so bad. You know, so we started writing together. I mean, we just felt, you know, we could do something special. And so we started writing together to create a project for me. And then what happened was we created a television series in France called Red Eye, and we with the French network. It was a pilot for an English-speaking television series. And we actually couldn't afford a director because we had very limited money for the pilot. So we had a meeting with everybody, the production company, we were a French company, and everybody in France and that was involved with the project. And they said, we have made a decision. We know who's going to direct the movie. Who? You. I'm like, me? Yes, we know. I can tell you could do it. So that's a bad accent, but I'm trying. But you will do it. I swear it. No. So anyway, that was kind of the beginning where, you know, that's where it really happened. Unfortunately, series things changed. The French network decided then that they didn't want to actually do it in English. And of course, I'm starring in it too, by the way, but I don't speak fluent French. So I'm like, wait a minute.
Now you're out.
We only want to do English. I'm like, well, so I didn't make the cut. So anyway, so the show that we, yeah. So anyway, to make a long story even longer, that was sort of the startup. And then we wrote, and then Janine and I kept writing, and we wrote a horse script, because Janine was a big equestrian back in the day. She used to ride. And so, because somebody said, hey, we're looking for a horse movie. And so we wrote Moondance Alexander that was bought by Fox. And then 20th Century Fox said, would you like to do the Flicka franchise for us? And wow. So we said, yes, we'd love to. So we did that. And then they said, well, we want to reboot Marley and Me. And so could you do the prequel to Marley and Me? And then that was kind of that. That's when it just started happening. And then we did A Princess for Christmas that became with Sam Heughan, which this is before Highlander, with the late great Sir Roger Moore, 007.
Wow.
And that was incredible. And that became a holiday classic, which started a lot of different Christmas movies for us as well.
My daughters still talk about that. One of the times you stayed at our house in Atlanta, you were writing that, and you named characters after my daughters. Yes.
Oh, that's
Maddie,
so cool.
Yes, that's so cool.
Had, it was just Maddie at that time. And she's like, oh my God, he made that from meeting
me. We did.
That was so funny.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Janine and I write things that are our true life experiences, and you know,
Put a cubby in something.
Cubby, by the way, is a great name.
There's got to be a cubby in a future movie.
And Leslie, of course, and Steve.
Yeah,
but Cubby's a good name. We're gonna do that. Honey, Cubby in the next script.
See, just like
that, man. That's cool.
That's so cool that you and your wife have this amazing collaboration, though. I love that.
We have a great time. We have so much fun, and it's really. We had a lot of fun making the last movie. Of course, it was unusual circumstances, as you know.
But looking at the numbers, you have shattered the Hallmark movie ratings. I'm looking at them right now for the year. Your new movie, Christmas Waltz, is the biggest movie on the network for the year. Congratulations.
Know, awesome, huh?
Congratulations. Woo-hoo! Hey, when you're making a movie like that, well, I know it was because of COVID. How tough was it?
Oh, it was bizarre. Well, because, first of all, you check in. I'm not used to checking into the set. Like, you know, like Steve said, we just drive in. Remember the gate opens and they go right this way. You know, this was like, go over to the hall monitor with your zapper for the temperature, put your little wristband on, right? Do you have any symptoms? Do you have any, I'm not making a joke out of it. I just wanted, it was very bizarre because I felt like I was back in school because there were so many sort of hall monitory kind of regulations. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you go to the drinking thing, don't touch your bottle onto the thing, get a sanitary wipe, wipe this off, put the, you know, it was very unusual. But we were lucky we got through it and nobody got sick on the shoot. And we were really fortunate because, you know, we were,
where did you film it?
In Vancouver. So we were in Vancouver for the principal photography, and then we did the post-production in Ireland. It was a Canadian-Irish co-production. And so I'm also Irish. I'm also an Irish citizen. So we were able to, you know, fall into that category. But it was just kind of wild, just the experience of, you know, it wasn't terrible, you know what I mean? But you had to really be on your, I'll be honest with you. I think it was safer on our set than pretty much anywhere.
I bet.
Because we had crews, if I touched something, there was like somebody, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It was like this crew came out of nowhere and they were constantly cleaning everything all the time. So it was a very clean set.
You're going to be on, is that movie going to be on primetime this week? We're in the weekend.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
So the 8th.
Tuesday night, the 8th, 8 o'clock. It'll be back in primetime again. We're so excited that, you know, we saw the numbers we did. We made it with a lot of love and a lot of passion. The cast is amazing. Lacey Chabert, who everybody knows from Mean Girls, Party of Five. Will Kemp from Girls Friends Guide to Divorce and the series Rain plays the hero. JT Church plays Nikki. He won So You Think You Could Dance Junior. I'm sorry, Dancing with the Stars Junior, and then came in second place on So You Think You Could Dance. He's an amazing young talent. And it was choreographed by Jean-Marc Genereau from So You Think You Could Dance, the French, you know, the French guy, the wild French choreographer. He's incredible. So we had this fabulous team and, you know, and just really had a great time making it. And a lot of love went into it.
What's your cameo in this movie? I know you always stick yourself in some small role.
Okay. You're not even going to believe what happened. Okay. Okay. I've got it all worked out. Big cameo. It's backstage during the big finale number, in the wings, there's supposed to be a singer go out and perform Christmas Time Without You, my song, you know? And so it's supposed to be me. Well, I did the crossover to enter onto the stage, and then we were going to shoot a pop of me singing Christmas Time Without You. Okay. You ready for this? The playback guy couldn't find the song.
What?
Something happened. Whatever happened. Just could we had a mix up. It was a mix up. We had so many songs in the film. Anyway, I had a very little limited time because of COVID, cut down our shooting time, our hours, because of all the cleaning and all the different things, mandates. So I had like a 10-minute, 5-minute window to shoot this singer, me. Anyway, we ran out of time.
You cut it?
Well, I'm in there. If you watch closely, you'll see me cross in the background. Just look carefully, pause your DVR, and then you're going to hear Christmas time without you. It's a time to echoing, you know, in the wings during the scene. You're going to hear my song. Just imagine I'm on stage singing it. Okay.
The quick capsule.
You're like Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Alfred Hitchcock. Yeah. I never made it.
Michael, you're always so busy. Are you already working on your next project?
Yes, we are. Because of COVID, Jenny and I actually wrote 3 scripts during the whole, since it all couldn't, what else could we do? We couldn't, you know, go anywhere. So we just started writing and we tried to turn a negative into a positive and make it as creative as possible, constructive as possible. And so we've got a couple other projects teed up. Again, we don't know about how, you know, where we're going to shoot it or how we got to figure that out because of the, you know, the current climate. So we'll see, but definitely, we've got stuff ready to go and we should be probably rolling by January, February, I'd say.
Wow. That's going to be interesting to see because without the vaccine in full flow, everything's kind of in tentative. They're starting to shut down countries again. They're saying, don't travel here. Don't travel there.
Yeah. We may have to shoot it like maybe at your house, Steve, or something. I don't know.
Let's do
Cubby's.
You're going to work.
Are you on a full lockdown?
Yeah, you're going to work Cubby's name into one of those projects, right?
We can't wait to see that.
Cubby's going to be in the next movie.
please do. Don't put an H in there. Don't Chubby by accident.
Yeah.
Make sure
it's Cubby.
In the credits,
as a joke.
Right. And we have to work on a Facts of Life reunion. He was in three episodes of Facts of Life. Did you know that?
Was that pre-Young and the Restless?
No, it was during Young and the Restless.
Wow.
Yeah, I played. And they actually wanted me to be a regular, but I couldn't with the CBS contract. But George Clooney got my job. Anyway, yeah, I played Flyman and the singer that then turned into a Vegas Lounge singer.
Dude, you had a corner on the market of singers on TV shows.
Unbelievable.
I was really, that was fun. The girls are great. I had such a great time on that show.
Speaking of girls, let's go back to the 80s. Tell me about, if this were now and we had the TMZs of the world and all the social media, who would we be seeing show up with Michael Damian on the streets of Hollywood? Who were you running with in that time?
Back then?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Clooney, Stamos, my pals, and, you know, just, gosh, who else?
You weren't on Clooney's list that he just gave everyone $1 million? He gave like 12 people $1 million.
He's the nicest guy. Let me tell you something. I ran into him, believe it or not, at the Cannes Film Festival, and I thought he was going to forget about me because we hadn't seen each other in years, and we're at a huge event. That was an earthquake here in Vegas. All of a sudden Janine and I were at the party, this big party. It's after Brother We're Out Though, and so the premiere right at the Cannes Film Festival, and so Janine said, oh, there's George. Go say hi. I'm like, I'm not going to say hi. Come on. He's not going to remember. He's like, honey, you guys hung out. He was always at your house, parties, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, but that was a long time ago. He's, you know, so I just said, let's just leave him alone. People are, you know, they're all over him. All of a sudden I hear, Michael Damian! And I look over and George is like, you know.
That's so nice.
And we had a la 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 coming together hug and did a whole thing and that was really special. I was really touched that he did that and, you know, remembered me, and we had it was really nice, and we've run into each other and since then, but that was a really special reunion that we had.
That's awesome. Who knew that he gave all those people $1 million. I'd love to know that list of who those people were.
He said he slept on their couches and so we thought maybe you were one of them, but
would have been
can't
nice.
Talk about $1 million. Let me see. That's weird. Some money did arrive one time, and I was like, where did that come from? Where did that? Oh my God, I never thanked him. I got to call him.
So funny. Well, Michael Damian's movie is on Hallmark. You can watch it. It's called Christmas Waltz. Is it a Christmas Waltz or just Christmas Waltz?
Just Christmas just Waltz. Christmas Keep Waltz. It simple. Christmas Waltz. It's going to be on Tuesday night, 8 p.m. It's going to be on throughout the holidays as well, all the way through, you know, into the new year. But it's fantastic working with the Hallmark Channel. They've been wonderful, great people over there. And hey, if you want to feel good, you want to have a Christmassy moment, you want to, you know, just feel the holidays, immerse yourself in a story, you know, I hope you enjoy it. Let me know your thoughts. I'm on Twitter, MichaelDamian1, and Instagram, The Real Michael Damian, and Michael Damian on Facebook. I'd love to hear from you because I love talking to everybody and hearing their thoughts after they see it.
Well, you Absolutely. Are such a great guy. We want you to come on more often because you're fun. You're fun to have on. You have such a positive vibe. You've always
got
thank you.
Such positive energy. Michael Damian, everybody.
Thank you,
Michael. Thanks, Leslie. Thanks, Cubby. Good Thanks, Steve.
You. Hey, quick Rock thing. On. Michael, this week, Cubby has been waiting. He's been waiting forever to do this. I sent him an email and said, Michael Damian's confirmed, and he sends back, Rock on. It's like, you've been waiting so long.
Well, I mean,
long.
That's easy, right? I had to do it. It's too easy. Softball. It's
hey,
too easy.
Cubby, rock and roll, rock on.
Are you a football fan, by the way?
I love football.
I didn't know you were in Las Vegas.
Our Raiders. The Las Vegas.
The Jets are playing at 1 o'clock. My Jets are about to lose to your Vegas Raiders.
Whoa.
Oh, man. Yeah. I listen, you know, I want the Jets to win a game this year, but I would rather not happen in Vegas. But if it does have to happen, you know, fine.
I'm a Jets fan. We need to lose today. I want to get Trevor Lawrence.
You're going to get the first pick in the draft. You're going to get the first
pick. Yeah, we want
pick.
Trevor Lawrence.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, you have this is a ploy. You guys are losing on purpose.
Yeah.
Damn right.
For years.
Damn right.
That's what's funny. For years.
That stadium looks nice, by the way. That Vegas stadium looks nice.
Oh, it's
shame
gorgeous. Nobody's been in there, but it looks great.
Good to see you, Michael. We'll see you later. Michael Damian.
Thank you, Michael.
Take care. God bless.
Thank you.
The Pop Culture Show is presented by Luna Nuda Prosecco. Cheers.
Cheers.
With Luna Nuda. See you next week.